to 2 Samuel chapter 11 today. The old devil, I don't think he likes what I'm going to preach because one of our projectors ain't working. Can you imagine that? But that's okay. We're going to make it through. 2 Samuel, we're preaching through the life of David. And going to preach a message today that kind of told you about the lion of lust. And just want to read about four or five verses, and then we'll get right into the message today. Appreciate everybody being out, and also appreciate those listening online, and appreciate everybody's prayers. And let's pray that God will use this to help folks across the country. 2 Samuel chapter 11, it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David rose up from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." Father, I pray now that you'd help us to preach this message you put on our heart. I pray, God, today that we would, the thing, Lord, I know that you want is for us to visualize in our hearts and in our minds what lust, unbiblical, immoral lust can do to our lives. And I pray to God today that these families, these folks here today, these individuals, that Lord, at the end of this service, and that tomorrow and the next day and next year and the year after that, and from now to eternity, that when we are tempted of the tempter to ungodly lust, that we would visualize what we're getting ready to see here today, not just David's life, but what it'll do to our own homes and families. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be glorified. Lord, I know that you're a holy God, a pure God, and a righteous God, and I'm so thankful for that. Lord, in the midst of this perverse and crooked and evil generation that we live, that is so saturated with filth and perversion, and on every hand, people inundated with this situation, Lord, we pray that you would give strength to these families, these homes, these individuals, and that, God, that we'd see the criticalness of it. I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't be so much what it's going to do to us and destroy us as what it does to your name, and that we'd love you enough, Lord, to not allow the lions of lust to devour us. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll give me a good spirit today. I don't want to be, Lord, outside the Spirit of God at all. I want to, Lord, just be in the Spirit of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would be the one that preaches. And I ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Before we get into the deal, first of all, let me say this to you. I had just a little bit of compunction about some of the clips that Joel graciously helped me put this message together. Without him, it couldn't have been done. Joel, I want to thank you. I had a little bit of compunction about it because I'm a person, I can't stand to see these movies and these films and lions and tigers killing little animals and stuff. It bothers me. I don't like to watch it. So what you're going to see today is not because I want to show that. And I hope that it doesn't offend anybody today because it's going to be pretty tough. Okay? It's real. But I did it because one day on my news feed on Facebook, I've been looking at, you know, and here we are preaching through the life of David. And Brother Randy, I'm going to be honest with you. When I approached chapter 11, there's just something inside me. Brother Tim says, "I don't want to preach on it." Because after chapter 11, David's life is never the same. And I just like, Lord, I just don't want to go there. David's life has been so wonderful up to this point. Yeah, he's made some mess ups. He's fell a time or two, three, you know, and did some things he shouldn't have done. But it wasn't any big shift in his life. But now it's different. And it's never going to be the same. And I've had a hard struggle with it. I was like, Lord, I don't even want to preach on some, you know, I just don't want to touch it. It's so ruinous. But then the Lord began to show me some things. But I was watching my news feed one day, and all of a sudden pops up on my news feed on Facebook. Here's this lion, you know, chasing this little animal, and it grabs it and kills it, and other lions pile in. And it was just like the Lord said to me, Reggie, that's what happened to David. Reggie, that's what happens to you, and that's what happens to anyone whom lust devours. And I began to envision this message, and I just seemed like the Lord just began to talk to Joel, and he said, we can do it. And I said, and we haven't rehearsed this at all. He showed me some of the clips. Joel actually had some really good analogies that came up with some of them. And Joel, if I don't get them, you remind me about them, and we're going to do it. But my goal is this. David was not a young man when this hit him. My goal is this, is that if this would just help one person in this congregation to avoid being devoured by immorality, if you could just every time Satan tempts you with immorality, all of a sudden you could remember back that Sunday when you saw that lion do what he did to them animals. This is what Satan is going to do with your life. It'll be worth it all. As I said, it's a shocking turn in David's life. It's a sordid story. It doesn't just end with immorality. It winds up being theft. He stole another man's wife. Covetousness took her. Deceit. He lied. Treacherous. Betrayal. Murder. Lying. Cover-up. And denial. There's hardly a sin that you can name that David didn't wind up committing as a result of this episode in his life. And the tragic part about it is, you can read the Bible all you want to, but David's life's never the same. And God never... If something happened, and God pulled his hand... The wreckage, though, will never stop. The reaping will never stop until the Lord comes. And I'm thankful that God recorded it for our learning, because the one thing I'm getting out of this is I just keep meditating on this whole situation is that God is a God of mercy. And I want to say before the outset of this message today, I don't care how bad you messed your life up. I don't care. There may be things you can't fix and you can't turn around and you can't change, but God still forgives. God still has mercy. God still wants to restore the years that the locust ate. And there is hope. And if there's not hope for a guy like David, there's no hope for you and I. It is here where we learn not just about David and sin and reaping and chastisement, but we learn a lot about God here. You have to know that God loved David. It seemed like that almost like God's heart was turned toward David. But God is holy, and God's not going to let sin go unpunished and undealt with. God is just, but God is also merciful. God is faithful to his word. God is long-suffering. God is sovereign. But God gives us faith and hope and love. David's life, his home, his family and his future, his peace and his joy, and the potential of his life is devoured by the lions of lust. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse number 8, and this is where the Lord took my mind when I thought about this, when I read David's story. It said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. I want you to take your Bibles this morning before we begin the clips, and I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 5. I said, David has never got done reaping. And we're going to be looking at some of the ways. But go to Proverbs chapter 5. And I'm going to do this and just be dogmatic about it. I'm purposely keeping myself from getting wound up. Proverbs chapter 5. Everybody there say amen. I want us to read this together as a congregation today. All right, let's begin. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 5, the entire chapter. Let's begin. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to hell, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. And I want you to stop right there. Mark that verse. That verse is telling you that you can be sitting in church for years and have a problem with this. You can be sitting in church and all of a sudden, you know, I can be preaching. They can be singing a song and Satan will attack your mind with immorality and lust right inside the church. I'm telling you, it happens. The Bible is accurate. Verse 15, let's begin. Drink water out of thine own cistern, running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only thine own, which is with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Let's go to chapter 6, verse number 20, and begin reading. Chapter 6, verse number 20, let's begin all reading together. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief, if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom. Neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. And now chapter 7. Let's begin. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I want you to stop for just a second and notice verse 14. This woman cloaked her actions with religion, peace offerings, and vows. Verse 16, let's begin. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare. She knoweth not, and it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. We're not going to read it this morning, but in the ninth chapter of Proverbs, verses 13 through 18, is a continuation of the same theme. James chapter 1, verse 15 says, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. As I said, these clips are terrible. They're awful. They're hard for me to watch. But as I said a while back, watching one of these, seeing this, it, God just kind of spoke to my heart, Reggie, take a good hard look at this. You may not want to look at it, but this is what happened to David. So as I said, my goal here today is this, that when you're tempted with lust, the purpose of this message is just not to be sensational. It's to cause us to think and to see visually what will happen if we yield to that rust, what's beyond the bend. And so we're going to, I've wondered if David could have visualized what happened, what would happen if he would have done what he did. There's something that Joel brought out to my attention Wednesday night. And this is what he said. He said, Reggie, did you ever think about the fact that the first mention of David in the Bible, he talks about having delivered the lamb out of the mouth of a lion? David was a shepherd. And he told in his the first chapter you ever meet David, he tells about a lion came and took a sheep out of the flock and how he went and delivered that sheep out of the lion's mouth. And yet, of all the lions David fought and conquered through his life, this lion of lust is the one that got him. And so we're going to look at these things. And Joel, you can start the deal. And what we're going to do is just, I'll comment a little bit and we'll move through them. But here's what I want you to see is what Satan will devour in your life. I want you to think about the babies that have been conceived, the innocents. I want you to notice that that lion has no mercy on that little calf. I want you to think about the babies that have been conceived in immorality and how they're butchered. Just the same as that, they're attacked just as viciously as that lion's attacking that little calf. There's not a person in this building or watching this. But what you wouldn't say that about that little calf, it never had a chance. It was defenseless against that. And yet across this country, I'm going to tell you why we have abortion. And I'm all against abortion. But I'm going to tell you why we have the abortion industry. It's because of lust and immorality in this country. And that's the fact of it. And let me tell you, I want you to go ahead, Joe, but you see that little calf being attacked and devoured by that lion. You think about a little baby in the womb of a mother who's been butchered to pieces and killed and slaughtered just at worse than that line. Go ahead, Joe. That lust will not only take away your purity and your innocence, but it'll take away the peace and the joy. That animal was just grazing in the grass. And you see what it did. The lion of lust is merciless. It'll rip you to shreds. Go ahead. Disunity within the home. Watch this very carefully. Watch this. there's several things there you need to get from that. These two deer were fighting. That could be a husband and wife in disagreement. And while they're fighting at the home, and this unity comes and so forth, and one of them decides, you know, hey, you know, I'm just going to go off with somebody else, or I'm going to chase somebody else, or, you know, blah, 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 whatever it may be, that fighting that's going on. Let me tell you something, what's going to happen while you and your spouse is fighting. There's a lion of lust going to come in your home. I'll give you one more thing that Joel mentioned about that. You see those two bucks were fighting? What happens when people fight in church? I am telling you, we need to watch this. You start butting heads, we start getting into disagreements and all this stuff fighting, this lion will come, I mean, bam! You come in on the scene. We'll go to the next one. He was fighting one moment, the next moment, the lion got him. Now, I want you to stop this right now, Joe, if you don't care right there. This, a calf gets separated from his family. I want you young people to realize something. You can remove yourself from your parents' authority, and you can think you'll get by with it, but it won't happen. That's the exact design of Satan, is to get you separated from your daddy, get you separated from your mama, to get you separated from your authorities. And you watch what happens here. David experienced all of this. Everything you're watching, and he's not showing you how bad it is. Everything you're watching happened to David. It got his innocency. It got his purity. It got his home. His marriage wasn't worth a dime after that. That's David's children. That's David's children. What happened to David's kids because of what David did? This thing is really close to my heart, and I want to tell you why. Pastoring all the years that I've pastored, and I've watched things like this occur, and it's always the kids. They get devoured by bitterness, hatred. Their life is destroyed. They get into drugs, liquor, immorality. Everything. They throw themselves away because mom and dad got into immorality, got into lust. The line of lust. Watch this and very carefully. You can think, oh, I'm okay. I'm not in any danger. You see that lion? He's right there in the grass. Lust destroys friends and relationship. I want to give you a little story, and I did not ask permission, but I think it'll be okay. I'm not going to say where this, but I will just tell you it's in another state. This week I was talking to a pastor on the phone. He said a young woman with some kids came in. She didn't have a husband. She had some children. She came into their church, and she was there for several weeks. And all of a sudden, one Sunday, she walks up to the pastor's wife and says to the pastor's wife, I'm sorry, I've gotten this wrong. She walks up to a lady in the church, not the pastor's wife, a lady in the church, and she said, when I first came to this church, I was absolutely sure that you were having an affair or committing adultery with the pastor. But now I'm convinced that you're not. Well, listen to me real good here. It so blew this lady out of the water. This was a lady and her husband had been in church. You know, they settled his family in the church. This woman, she's come in and she's told this woman, I was just sure when I came here that you were having an adulterous situation with a preacher. The woman was just taken aback. Standing there in church, you think about this. Somebody walks up to you and says that in church. Well, the woman's husband called the pastor and said, listen, this woman said this to my wife. Okay, now just hang on to your hat. First of all, I'm going to tell you something. There's something bad wrong with a woman who walk up to another woman and say stuff like that. Okay? You got a problem. It's probably a lust problem. And she's used as Satan to destroy stuff. The husband, called the pastor and told him what this woman said. Of course, everybody's wondering, why on earth would she say something? There must be something. Why would she say such a thing? So the pastor and his wife go over to see the lady. They sit down with her. The pastor asked her, what on earth would you say such a thing? What caused you, what did I do or anybody do that would cause you to say such a thing to another person in church? She wouldn't answer. And they kept promising, listen, this is causing problem in the church. You've got a family, literally. I mean, how would you like to be the husband of the wife whom this woman talked to? Everybody with me? Okay. I mean, it's got this husband riled up. Where'd she get this at? What's going on? What do I not know? Okay. Creating all kinds of trouble. All right. She finally said this. She couldn't come up with any other reason. She finally said this. Well, that lady is awful good looking, and anybody that good looking is committing adultery with somebody. Well, that just tells you, folks, that she was up to no good. She was trying to tear a marriage up. That's why you want to be really, really careful about anything anybody tells you. Now, this ain't the end of the story. That pastor and his wife sitting at that table with this woman that came in the church and said this, took the scripture and showed her what she had done to the church and that she needed to repent and fix this and go to the people and make it right. She refused to do so. In a few weeks, she left the church. The pastor said, really and honestly, Reggie, I was glad she's gone. But watch the lion. She was a Facebooker, big time Facebooker. Now, you listen to this preacher carefully. What she did was she kept in touch with everybody in church through Facebook, even though she left the church. Are you listening to me? And she began to sow discord and defilement. The preacher, trying to deal with it, got up and preached one Sunday morning a message on the fact that when somebody has offended and done wrong in sin, they need to repent and fix it and be honest about it and get it right, not just run from it. Did you know that three families out of that church left the church that morning because they were offended that he would think that she needed to repent? He said, Reg, you never got in such an awful mess in your life. What happened? Friends and relationships. And just because people believed garbage concerning immorality and lust, and it could have been any other subject besides that. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. That zebra, now listen to me, that zebra is fixing to be taken. And these little kids are fixing to be taken because of that stuff. I'm telling you, he is out to devour. I'm telling you, he will devour you. Go ahead, Joe. When God says that Satan is as a lion going about seeking whom he may devour, it's serious business. Out by himself, not with the herd. You say, well, I just don't need fellowship. I don't need to be at church. Watch this. Lions everywhere. All across this country now, churches, families, individuals are just being consumed by the lions of lust. It is everywhere you go. There's nothing sold without immorality. Nothing of that kind. And I want to tell you something. That's a horrible, horrible situation. How'd you like to have all them lions on your back and being eight before you're ever dead? Okay, go ahead. Now watch this one. Watch this. Lions lurk near the water hole. 40%. Now, I don't know whether this survey is accurate or not, but they claim that 40% of preachers are now admitting that they have had adulterous deals in America. I don't know whether that's accurate. That's a report. That's a survey that's out. You can find it yourself. 40%? Hey, 50% homes and churches are over 50, about 52% of homes and churches are busting up. I am telling you, when God records what happened to David, it's killing ministries, it's killing churches, it's killing the effectiveness of churches. I'm telling you, I'm convinced that the church, we need to get back to old-fashioned holiness, purity, and righteousness, and no games played about it. Because this stuff is getting people everywhere. Go ahead, Joel. You may say, man, I'm strong in the Lord. I've been a Christian for a long time. David had been a man of God for years. Believe it or not, this lion is going to take this elephant down. The lion of lust will destroy you. That's all. Okay. Here's what I want you to think about. When David was on that balcony that night, and he saw Bathsheba, if he could have perceived what was going to happen to his own daughter Tamar, I wonder if he would have went ahead. If he could have seen what was going to happen to her. Both Amnon and Tamar were taken down by the lion of lust. As a result of that, I wonder if he could have seen Amnon one night at a weenie roast, or whatever you want to call it, a feast that Absalom had. And all of a sudden, just right in the middle of that feast, Absalom has another son of David, has men to rise up and kill Amnon for raping his sister Tamar. I wonder if we could show that on the bill and see that first knife blade go into Amnon's chest. And see the second knife blade go into his back. And the next knife blade go into his neck. I wonder if David would have said, "Oh, wait, I can't do this. Oh, God, I see my sons. I see my daughters. I see them being taken down by the lion of lust. I can't do this." I wonder if he would have heard the screams of Tamar. I wonder if he would have seen Absalom hanging by his hair from the limb of an oak, swinging in that tree. If he would have said, "Oh God, I can't do this." I wonder if he would have seen Joab coming up with those darts and the first dart into the heart of Absalom and the second dart. And he's twisting and he's writhing and his hair's hung and he's twisting and he's writhing. And the third dart and the fourth dart and the fifth dart and the sixth dart. And he's hanging there by his hair and he's slowly dying. I just wonder if David might have took a second thought about Bathsheba. Now I'm here to tell you something this morning. That you and I are no better than David. And if David could be taken down, anybody in this church house could be taken down. And we need to be praying for each other. We need to be standing together, holding one another up, encouraging one another. And not only that, but moving away from anything that would cause us to move toward that. I've been a while now in the ministry. I've lived a decent time. And I could just go down through the history and show you home after home after home after home after home. And I could show you bitter kids and mad kids and kids that are in jail and kids that are bitter and kids that are on dope that have been devoured by the lust of their own parents. The things that come with it. I know that may not be doing the best job on this, but what I want you to do this is to go home today. Joe, would you run by those first one or two again, please, if you can. The thing I want you to remember, I don't have the cell phone with me, but when you pull that cell phone up and something, watch now, something comes up to entice you, like did David, what I want is to flash into your mind that scene. Right here. That the moment you do that, you're opening your children up to being attacked by Satan, by the lion. God, I'm telling you, the moment David did that, I mean to tell you, it took him down. And it got his kids. And I'm going to tell you this. Was David forgiven? Yeah, God forgave him. God had mercy on him. He could have killed him. But David's kids suffered. And I don't want our children suffering. I don't know. This message didn't turn out like I wanted it to. I just hope you got the message. Just as sure as that's happening to that little animal right there, that's what will happen to your family. You get involved in lust and immorality. You can mark it down in your day book. It's going to happen. So here's what I'd like for us to do today. I believe that leadership ought to be of men. Without any fanfare and music or anything else, I'm going to ask today that you're here because our homes have got to have men who lead spiritually. I don't know about you men, but Satan loved to take all of us down. It's not a shame to be tempted, men, but but it's a shame to give in. But in order not to give in, we're going to have the power of God. We have to have the power of God. God is looking for a generation of men that are different. And so I'm just going to say this to you today. If you're here today, this does not mean that anybody's in immorality. Just like that. We're talking about preventive medicine here today, okay? If you're here today, and I'm going to ask the fathers and men, you're here today and you say, you know what? I don't want Satan taking my kids and doing that to my kids. And I recognize that my actions could bring that kind of end to my children. And I want to ask God this morning that He would keep me from immorality and keep me from lust. And I'm just going to ask you to come. Find a place to pray. Ask God a special time. Say, Lord, keep me from sin. Keep me from the lions of lust. Fathers and sons. Fathers and sons. If we don't lead men, who will lead? I ask you to come. And say, dear Lord, I may be strong. I may think I'm an elephant. I may think I'm fast. I may think this and I may think that. But I'll tell you, we're no match for a lion out of hell. I promise you that. We are no match. We are no match. There is not a man in this auditorium, not a man in this church, but what is can be tempted by Satan. And I want to ask us today to pray and seek the Lord's face today. Now I'm going to ask something here. You boys out there, your daddy, he came up and he prayed. I'm going to ask you to join your daddy, and I'm going to ask you to have your daddy pray for you. Because you're going to need your dad's prayers. If you want to come, you just come. If you've got a daddy up here on his knees, you've got a gold mine and don't even know it. Pray with your daddy. Ask God to put a hedge of protection about your home and your marriage and your family and your life. See, a marriage relationship is the most beautiful thing under God's green earth in marriage. But apart from marriage, it's the most awful thing in the world. Would you come? Oh, God, help us to see the picture of these lions destroying these little ones, destroying these. And now I'm going to ask something else. I'm going to ask, if your husband's up here, I'm going to ask you to come find him and deal with him and say, honey, I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. Let's keep this away from our children. Let's keep this away from our children. Let's beg God not to let our family be devoured by the lions of lust. There is no way to count on this God's green earth how many homes and families have been destroyed by this thing. It's eating this country like a cancer. It's eating this country like a cancer. And now I'm going to ask you daughters, your daddy, and maybe your mother's up here. You say, I don't know if I can get there or not. Do your best. Stay close to your mom and your daddy. Stay close to the Lord. I want you girls and you boys to always remember these lions and what they would do to you if they get a chance. They'll tear your life to shreds is what they'll do. They will tear your life to shreds. There'll be nothing left of you except bones and hide. Karen, would you come and we'll pray today? Honey, would you come? Our Father in heaven, we bow before you today, Lord, recognizing the reality that you're not joking when you said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And God, when we think we're safe, and when we think we're just in green pastures, and we think we're by the watering hole, and Lord, we think we're so big and we think we're stout enough. God, we're not. God, unless you watch the house, Lord, the watchman waketh but in vain. And Lord, I'm asking you a great thing today that you'd keep every one of us away from this lion of lust that has destroyed so many people down through history. Lord, when I think of David, Lord, my heart grieves for him. When I think about what was in front of him after that just little momentary time of pleasure, Lord, somehow or another, he didn't see what was around the corner. He couldn't see over the hill what was going to happen to his kids. Lord, I tell you, Satan the blinder. I pray, Lord, today that you'd help us in this church, these families, these individuals, these homes, that we would remind ourselves, Lord, every time when Satan tries to tempt us, Lord, that we would see the reality of what's out there, that he will devour us. He'll devour our joy and our peace. He'll devour our purity and our innocence. He'll devour our children, our marriages. He'll devour our ministry, our church. He'll devour, Lord, all that's good and decent and right. And Lord, he will have no mercy. God, today I pray that you'd hear the prayers of this people today, that you would keep us. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would keep us from immorality in this church. Lord, I pray, guard us against the lions of hell that would come in and try every way, Lord, to stir up jealousy or dissension or whatever it might be, or to try to split apart a couple or to entice a young person. And Lord, the day we're living in, they don't have to be on a balcony looking across. Lord, they can pick up their phone, Lord, and see the awfulest junk. And dear Lord in heaven, we pray, if you don't guard us, we're not guarded. But I pray, Lord, put something in our souls. God, do a work of the Holy Ghost within us of holiness, that, Lord, we would love you enough, Lord, to turn away from it. Lord, that we would have a desire, Lord, a recognition to do right above all. And that we'd truly see the deceit of Satan. That we'd really understand what he's up to. That he's out to destroy us. To rip everything precious out of our lives. And so, Lord, we ask for your glory and for your sake simply today that you would keep us from the lions of lust. And God, I tell you, we're living in a perverted, adulterous generation. Oh, God, we ask these things for your glory and for your sake, namesake, Lord. Don't even, Lord, seem like know how to pray other than just ask you. God, would you be our good shepherd? And Lord, thank you that you are able to deliver the sheep out of the lion's mouth. And Lord, I pray that if we, Lord, are taken, we ask you in the mighty name of Jesus that you would rush to our help, that you would run to our rescue. Lord, our flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, Lord, but the flesh is weak. We ask, God, that you would deliver us from the mouth of the lion. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.